if with all your heart ye truly seek me, ye shall ever surely find me, thus saith the Lord. I want to talk about that today a little bit. That's not what the sermon is particularly about, but it enters into the sermon this morning. I do not know of any more appropriate music to begin this sermon than what you just now heard. If with all your heart ye truly seek me, the promise is given, ye shall find me. God is not hard to find, people. God is not hard to find. Hezekiah was sick. I mean, he was sick. And he knew that he was going to die from this sickness. And I'm sure that every person in this room can have somewhat of sympathy for Hezekiah. Isaiah, the great prophet, came to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. That's not good news. I don't care who you are or when it comes. King Hezekiah did something very good. He began to pray. Amen? I believe with all my heart that Seventh-day Adventist people ought to be a praying people. Amen? Yes. We need to pray without ceasing. That is, talking to God all the time. I do not mean that you got to stay on your knees, because you don't. But you can be talking with God no matter what you're doing. You can still talk to God. And let me tell you a little advantage to that. If you're talking to God, the devil runs away. So if you're talking to God, you're not going to be as tempted. Or if you are tempted, Jesus is always right there to take the temptation away. It's all you. And I'm experienced at this, people. I know what I'm talking about. I have been being tempted. And I say, Lord Jesus, I don't want this temptation. I don't need it. I don't need the devil anywhere near me. And that temptation melts away. What a wonderful blessing that is, people. What a wonderful blessing that is. Well, I want us to look at Hezekiah's prayer. And so I want to ask you to turn with me to Isaiah. Find Isaiah. I hope everyone has your Bible. If you don't, I think there's one in the plew. Excuse me, plew. I say a lot of words, you know. I make up half of them, but in the pew, I think there's a Bible in front of you, so pull it out. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. And I want to read verses 2 and 3. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I want you to know that Hezekiah was a good king. Hezekiah led Israel away from idolatry into a worship of the true God of heaven. Amen? And that's what we Seventh-day Adventists must be doing. We must lead people into worship of God. And if we don't, we are falling down, people. We are falling down. When I said we should lead people into a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ, I should have gotten an amen that would send this roof right up there. Up. Amen? Amen. Thank you. That was better. That was better. Okay. I want you to see this morning that prayer is a powerful thing. It has power that you cannot even believe. When we love Jesus and we do our best to obey Him, He will always lead us in the path that is best. Not only for us, not always for us. Sometimes best for somebody else. But we're part of somebody else, aren't we? Sure we are. Always the best. And if it doesn't seem like the best to you, He'll give you the strength to stand whatever you thought was not the best for you. And when it's all done and gone, you're going to say, "Thank you, Lord. That was right. That was good." That was good. God told Isaiah, now you got to understand, there's Hezekiah. Isaiah said, "Hezekiah, you're going to die." And Isaiah turned around and walked out of the palace. There he is. He's headed across the courtyard. See him? There he goes. And God spoke to him. "Isaiah, turn around. Get back up there to Hezekiah and tell him..." Well, let's read it, shall we? Verse 5. "Go..." This is Isaiah is being told, "Go and say to Hezekiah, 'Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. I'm going to give you 15 more years to live, Hezekiah. Now I want to tell you something, folk. That's going to become important. I want you to remember that, because that's going to be very, very important in just a few minutes in this sermon. So hold on to that thought. 15 more years to live. You will remember from your study of Bible when you were a child in school, and we have a teacher right down here, and you're going to become very important in just a few minutes, okay? I'm not going to tell you why, but you are. I need a teacher for this sermon, see? And I'm glad you're here. Very important, people. It's very important. Now, I've set the scene for a great dishonor to God and a good lesson for all of us. I want you to follow this very, very careful. The sermon title today is God's Midterm Examination. You see why I'm talking about a teacher here. You're experienced at this. Chapter 39, verse 1. "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of" where? Have you ever heard of those people before? "Babylon sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered." Now the Babylonians heard about Hezekiah's miraculous healing. They saw the shadow of the sun go backwards because Hezekiah, what kind of a sign are you going to give? God said, "I'll send the sun backwards 10 degrees. That's quite a trick, you know. You try it. The Babylonians saw the sundial go back. I mean, the shadow on the steps. It went backwards. And so they sent a delegation of dignitaries, and they came to see King Hezekiah. See, folk, this is big stuff, okay? I mean, this is really big stuff. Sun goes backwards. Someone's healed. Woo! Doesn't happen every day. And so this Babylonian group came because they wanted to know what happened. Now, let me get real personal with you people now, okay? let's just say a delegation comes to your house from Washington, D.C. That's big, isn't it? You had any delegations from Washington at your house lately? Well, let's just say that one comes. What would you show that delegation from Washington, D.C.? Now, before you answer that question, I'm going to tell you what most of us would do. Most of us, I hope not all, but most of us probably would show them all the important things in our house when we ought to be telling them of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's read what Hezekiah did. This becomes important, folk. Becomes important. Isaiah 39, verse 2. And Hezekiah was glad of them. He was glad to see them. Come on, you'd be glad if the delegation came from Washington, D.C. Secretary of State came to your house. You'd be scared to death, but I mean, you'd be happy he came. Chose your house, not the people down the street. Showed them the house of his, all the stuff in his house, the precious things, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the precious ointments, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in his domain that Hezekiah showed them not. Everything, he showed it to the delegation from Babylon. He was happy they came. He was flattered. All his treasures. Let me ask you a question, folk. Do you see a problem here? Shake your head yes if you do. Okay? There's a problem here. And Isaiah saw the problem. Isaiah, the prophet, was flabbergasted. These people were from Babylon, and you know about the Babylonians. Babylonians were not nice people. Babylonians were the kind of people who would come in and steal everything you had. And Isaiah could see that that was not a good thing. And God told Hezekiah that he was not pleased with Hezekiah, or told Isaiah he was not pleased with Hezekiah's show and tell party. You have show and tell. Verses 3 and 4. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? This is Isaiah's asking Hezekiah a question. What have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Now, Isaiah is not very happy, and he said, God is not pleased with what you've done. And you people can see the reason why. Verses 5 and 6, then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. This prophecy came true. Everything was taken to Babylon. All the treasures of the king, all the treasures of the temple were taken to Babylon. If God, follow me, folk, follow me. If God were to give Hezekiah a midterm examination, what are some of the questions that God just might have asked Hezekiah? See, Hezekiah had a golden opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to glorify God. He had a chance to teach these Babylonians how to worship God and who God was so that they would want to worship Him instead of their idols. But Hezekiah didn't lead them to God. He led them to Hezekiah. Am I right? All right. Why did these people... Let's ask a question. Now, this question is on the midterm examination that we're giving to Hezekiah. Why did these men come to see you? Oh, excuse me. That's the quick way down. I told the class this morning, I'm going to have cataract surgery this coming Thursday. That's because I can't see as well as I used to. We demonstrated that. What did these men come to your house, Hezekiah? Why did they come? Why? Come on. What? To know what caused this to happen. Anybody else? What? You got to speak up. And he was healed. All right. Good. That's why they came. Are these people right? Shake your head yes if that's true. Okay. Thank you. I got to have some kind of response. Okay. These people came to Hezekiah to find out what happened. Why did the sun go backwards? Why were you healed? And they were open for somebody to tell them about God. But Hezekiah didn't do it. He flunked the first question. Question number two, and this gets down close to us. What do people see when they come to your house? What do people see when they come to your house? Do they see your fine china? Do they see your nice piano? Do they see the heirloom silverware in your silverware drawer? You say, well, Pastor, I don't have heirloom china. And I don't have any silver. Mine is stainless steel. You people are not in kindergarten. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. What do people see when they come to your house? Do you tell them about all the wonderful things you've done this last month? Now, believe me, friends, I'm not saying we shouldn't tell people about our last trip to Florida. It's fine to tell people about your last trip to Florida or wherever your last trip was. There's nothing wrong with that. But somewhere, people, listen to me, somewhere, you need to tell people about Jesus Christ. Somewhere in your conversation, you need to show people that spot in your house where you spend time every day worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, in that place that has become your place to worship Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a place like that in your home, and if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ every day in that place, then wake up, people. Wake up. We're too far down the road to be lazy or whatever we want to call it. Psalm 96:3, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. Seventh-day Adventists ought to be first in obeying that text, telling people about Jesus Christ. when heathen people come, and I suppose there aren't too many heathen people that come to your home. But even if Christians come to your home, you need to tell them about the Jesus that you know and that you love. I was sitting in Food for Less the other day. Now, you don't know where that is, but it's in Medford, okay? I live near Medford. And my wife likes to shop at Food for Less. Now, I'm not a shopper. I'm the kind of person, when I go into a store, I don't care what the store is, whether it's a food store or whether it's JCPenney or whatever, I know where what I want is. I know right where it is. And I make a beeline for that place. I get it, and I'm out of there. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she goes in to Food for Less, and she looks at everything on every shelf. And so it takes a little while, right? When she goes into JCPenney, she knows everything on every rack, whether it's her size or not. So it takes a little while. So I'm in Food for Less, and I'm sitting on a bench. They have a bench there that husbands can sit on. And a man came up to me and said, "Are you a Christian?" Well, he shouldn't have asked that question if he didn't want an answer. Because I unloaded on him, brother. "Yes, I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus with all my heart, and here's what I believe." Well, it took us about 25 minutes for me to unload everything that I had. And he said, "Boy," he said, "that's good. I'm glad you're a Christian." And he left. I got to tell you this, okay? This is not in the sermon, all right? But I got to tell you this. I pastor a little church called the Lakeview Church, a very small church. I'm retired, but I'm never going to quit, okay? And so I pastor this little church. It's 200 miles from my home. And I go over there for 10 days every month. Well, one of my members passed away about 2 months ago. And I was going to have the funeral. Now, the funeral was going to be at the graveside 45 minutes away from Lakeview, up in a little town called Adel. You probably never heard of it, but it's a little town up there. And his funeral was going to be at the graveside. And so his wife came to me and said, "When you preach this sermon, I want you to preach a Seventh-day Adventist sermon." Most of the people living in that town are Catholic. But she said, "I want you to preach a Seventh-day Adventist sermon." So I did. I had 200 to 250 Catholics standing around that grave. And I preached a Seventh-day Adventist sermon. I mean, I preached the second coming. I preached what happens when a person dies. Took me about an hour and a half. But it was a Seventh-day Adventist sermon. And when I finished, many of those Catholics came to me and they said, "You know, Pastor, I believe exactly what you preached." Which tells me I better hold an evangelistic meeting in the town of Adel. And I'm going to do it. Got to get back here to the sermon. Question number 3. What did God want? All right? What did God want these Babylonians to learn from Hezekiah? All right, a little louder. About the true God, thank you. Someone said something over here. Come on. Teach them about God. Very good. All good things come from a very good answer. Thank you. Yes, about God. Yes, all these answers were good. God can do anything, and there was proof, wasn't there? See, God wanted these Babylonians. These are heathen people, folk. They're heathens. They worship idols. God wanted them to learn that there is a creator God who is all powerful, who can come into your life and change your life. That's what God wanted Hezekiah to teach them. But what did he teach them? I have a lot of chariots. I have some gold dishes. When God sends someone to your door, and I don't care what they came there for, whether they came to sell you something, or they came for some other reason, what does God want you to do when they come to your house? The same thing he wanted Hezekiah to do. Let people know that you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Don't be afraid, people. Whether it's at the marketplace, your door, or the place you work, don't be afraid to let people know that you are a Seventh-day Adventist. The day may well come when they need to know that you are a Seventh-day Adventist, because things are going to really tighten up in the next few years, maybe few months. And they better know somebody who knows Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to let people know what you believe. I call this sermon God's midterm examination, and I did that for a reason. I did that because Hezekiah was given 15 more years to live. He flunked his examination. Would you agree? I mean, he flunked it flat. But he had 15 more years. Now, I am going to assume, and I think I'm probably assuming correctly, that all of you people still have some time to live before you die. And the reason I assume that is because you're sitting up in this church. And if you were already dead, you wouldn't be sitting up in this church. All right? So you see where I'm going, folk? Do you see where I'm going? I don't know what you've done in your life. This is the third time I have been in Sutherland to preach to you people. I love you people. Once at a place, then I love the people, see? So I love you people. But I don't know your intimate life. I don't know whether you're a hypocrite. I hope you're not. I don't know very much about you individually. But people, you've still got time before the finals. And it's the finals that I'm concerned about. I don't know if the midterms were given today or the finals were given today to you, and they could be. That could happen. But if that happened, I don't know whether you'd flunk or whether you'd pass. I don't know. Because I don't know you intimately enough. But what I am saying to you is this: you still have at least a few minutes left. At least I hope you're going to make it to the end of church. I hope you have some time even after that. Get ready for the finals. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, the most important question, the most important question in this midterm examination, time's going by, I'm going to hurry up. What do people see in me? What do people see in you today? The final examination. Hezekiah, but more importantly, the final examination for you. Now, this is where my teacher becomes important. Before you answer, I want them to answer, okay? I want to see if they know what they're talking about, and you're the expert. If, are you listening to me? Or are you thinking about what you're going to have for lunch? If you are, stop thinking about that and listen to me. If we want to pass our finals, how should we go about doing it? Just sit quiet. Study, pray, share, witness. All these things are good. All these things are good. What's that? Practice the material. All right. All of those go into one of my answers. I have two. Now, I'm going to turn to my teacher, see if she comes up with both of my answers. This is unfair, isn't it? Okay, good. Good. If we want to pass the finals, what should we be doing right now and for the rest of our lives? Believe in God. Very good. Thank you. What should we be doing? Practicing. Good. 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 Setting example. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Big voice. My two answers are these, and all of these fit in these two answers. Okay, so they're all good answers. You did not let me down. Study the material and listen in class. Am I right? Yeah. Yeah. Study the material. Now, what would you think would be studying the material? What fits into that classification or that category? What fits into it? Thank you. Stand up. Big.
Read the Bible.
Praise the Lord. Our young people are not stupid. They're brilliant. Read the Bible, people. A few minutes ago I said, when people come to your home, you ought to be able to show them the place where you spend time worshiping Jesus Christ every day. Amen? And I am not talking about reading one verse of the Bible and thinking that you've got it for the day. You read the Bible. Lots of the Bible. What would correspond, or what, I don't know if that's the right word. My teacher's going to get after me for English here in a minute. What would correspond with listening in class? Pray is part of studying the material. Thank you for that, for saying that, because to me there are two very important things that are, but they're together in number one: studying scripture and prayer. Okay? The other is listening in class. What corresponds with listening in class? Say it. Say, come on, stand up. Sabbath school. Listen, people. Listen to me. Listen to me. I was in Sabbath school this morning. I drove over 100 miles this morning, but I was here on time. Okay. I'm not trying to dig, people. I drove over 100 miles. I was here for Sabbath school. Where were some of you? I didn't see all you folk here for Sabbath school. I'm not chewing you out. I'm saying, people, these things are important. Are you hearing me? If you want to pass the finals, you better listen in class. That means the sermon on Sabbath morning, listen. Sabbath school, listen. And speak up when it's appropriate. Part of the discussion. I'm coming to the end now. I'm ready to wind this thing up, okay? Relax. We're coming to the end. I love you people. I can't help but love you people because you're good people. You're good people. Folk, I'm making an appeal now. I want all of us to pass the finals. Amen? All of us. All of us. But there are things that will help you do that. I recognize that we are not saved by the things we do. I recognize that. I believe that's true. We are saved by Jesus Christ, by faith in Him, and faith alone in Jesus Christ. But don't you see that there are things that we can do that'll help us to know Jesus better? And one of those things is to study Scripture. The other is to listen in class. Come to evangelistic meetings. I've been an evangelist for years. I'm kind of retired from that now, although I did hold a meeting in Lakeview last October, and I'm going to hold another meeting there this year, probably Adel. Come to evangelism. You say, well, I'm an Adventist. I already know all that. No, you don't. Be at the meetings. Well, I know all about Sabbath school. Be at Sabbath school. Even if you got to drive 100 miles to do it. Be there. Be in church. Listen. Pay attention. How in the world is this boy ever going to graduate from school if he never listens, he never comes to class? He's not going to. I'm serious, people. I'm not playing games. I don't play games. Not in sermons. Now, I believe in having fun. Always Christian fun, but I believe in having fun. But I'm not just talking here to hear myself talk. I'm telling you, I want you people to be in the kingdom of God. And to do it, there are some things that will help you. Those things are studying Scripture, prayer, and listening in class. Jesus, the very thought of Thee, with sweetness fills my breast. Jesus, the very thought of Thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far Thy face to see, and in Thy presence rest. Jesus, our only joy, be Thou, as Thou our prize will be. In Thee be all our glory now, and through eternity. Wonderful Father in heaven, I want to be in Your kingdom. I want my family in Your kingdom, Your kingdom of glory. We're already in Your kingdom of grace, but I want to be in Your kingdom of glory. But Father, not me alone. I want many, many other people to be there with me. I want these people, Father, these people. And I want them there because they love You with all their hearts. I want them there because they love other people enough to do something about it, to help other people find Jesus Christ, fall in love with Him. Please, Father, if we have flunked our midterms, okay, okay. But we cannot afford to flunk our finals. We must pass, and we must live with Jesus for eternity. Thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.